If you haven't officially weighed in on the latest proposals for Wisconsin's legislative maps, you've got a few more days. Governor Evers created a panel last year known as the People's Maps Commission. Last week, it unveiled new geographic boundaries for the state assembly, state senate, and congressional districts. A redistricting expert involved in the process said Republicans would likely retain an advantage, but it would be a smaller majority. That expert said no matter how you carve up the seats, they'll have an edge because Democrats are heavily concentrated in Milwaukee and Madison. Republicans currently hold 61 of 99 seats in the Assembly and 21 of 33 in the Senate. You can formally comment on the proposed new maps through Thursday night. You can join in and tell us what you think at 800-642-1234. Did you participate in this process? Have you looked at the proposed maps? Do you have thoughts on how you want to see these maps made now and in future years? Do you worry about the way we draw these lines giving a party an unfair advantage? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Rob Yeblon is an associate professor of law at UW-Madison and a faculty affiliate with the Elections Research Center. He's also faculty co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Rob.
Before we start sketching out these People's Maps Commission maps, it's important to note that the legislature are the ones who actually end up drawing the initial draft of the maps. Is there any indication that they're going to take a peek at these and use them?
Well, I mean, I imagine they'll take a peek. I haven't seen any affirmative indication that they intend to use them. And my guess is that this is not what they're planning to go with, given that they've already provided some indication of the factors that they intend to prioritize when they draw the lines. And I think those are somewhat different from the factors that were prioritized by the People's Maps Commission.
Well, let's take those one at a time, starting with the governor's commission on this. What were the driving forces that the designers of these maps said helped them draw them out?
Yeah, so they set out several groups of criteria that they intended to apply. And group one, the criteria that they said they gave the highest priority to, are ones that are essentially enshrined in state law. They said they wanted to create districts that are contiguous, compact, and they used some different mathematical measures of compactness while they were drawing the districts, and districts that generally preserved political subdivisions to the extent possible. In other words, kept counties and municipalities intact, and to the extent that it had to split them, tried to split them into as few pieces as it needed to. So that was group one. Group two, they thought about what's called communities of interest. And these are geographic areas or neighborhoods where residents might share common bonds, whether that's economic bonds, cultural bonds, ethnic bonds, or more. Again, trying to keep those communities together where possible. Beyond that, they wanted to go beyond what the law requires in terms of making the populations of these districts be as precisely equal as they could. And then the next step in their process, which they haven't yet adjusted these maps for, is they want to do the best they can to ensure partisan fairness. And so, again, these are draft maps, and I think at the next stage, we may see them take that group four criteria into account more than they have yet.
And partisan fairness was not one of those required by law things you mentioned earlier. There have been a lot of court cases saying, hey, if a map is drawn deliberately to swing things toward one part or the other, we might not like it, but it hasn't been overturned or blocked, right? There's no law against it.
As a matter of federal constitutional law, the Supreme Court has said it's not going to try to constrain partisan gerrymandering. There are some state Supreme Courts where, as a matter of state law, they've put some brakes on the practice. And, you know, there's an issue that may come up in Wisconsin where if there is a deadlock in the legislative process and a court ultimately draws the map, courts themselves are not going to become partisan gerrymanderers, or at least, you know, that's been the expectation. And so even if it is not going to be constrained by the courts when lawmakers draw the act, courts themselves hopefully won't do it.
With these People's Maps Commission maps, as I mentioned at the beginning there's still a Republican tilt on the maps. And there's been an argument all along that because Democrats tend to be concentrated in the bigger cities, even a fairly drawn map is going to have at least somewhat of a Republican lean. Is there something to that?
You know, there is something to that, although it's very interesting. You know, these draft maps, which were initially computer generated, and then the commissioners, my understanding is, went in and made some adjustments based on their local information and the comments that they had received about things like communities of interest. So these maps, even without taking account of any political factors, do have that sort of mild Republican bias, much less than the existing map that we have. And so certainly, you know, the existing map went well beyond what Wisconsin's geography provides for. And I think that these maps give you a closer sense of what you might get based on the geography, where you do have Democratic voters who tend to be concentrated in some of the big cities in the states. But on the flip side, rural voters are concentrated in rural areas, maybe just not to quite the same extent. And so again, I think that what we may see as the districting, as the People's Maps Commission now goes back and tries to refine their maps a bit, they may see if they can do better on the partisan fairness score without sacrificing some of the geographic criteria. And it wouldn't surprise me if they can come a little bit closer to proportionality than they have.
Talking to Rob Yablon from UW-Madison, looking at Wisconsin's map-making process for the elections of the next 10 years. You can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Rob, Republicans in the legislature are going to take the lead on drawing maps that they'd have to then send to the governor. What have they said about their priorities in drawing the new lines?
Sure. Well, so, you know, within the past week or so, they passed a joint resolution, basically along party lines, in which they said what they view as the redistricting policy of the state. And very high on their list of criteria was they said that they believe that we ought to try to retain as much as possible the cores of existing districts. In other words, they basically want to use the map that we have as a template, make whatever adjustments you need to make in order to now assure that populations of these districts remain equal. But they want to change as little as possible. And they also talk in their criteria, you know, in addition to the geographic criteria and everything else, they also talk about continuity of representation, which can include essentially incumbency protection. They want to avoid pairing the incumbents that are already in the legislature with one another so that they would have to face off. And again, the People's Maps Commission in their draft maps, they didn't start with the existing map as a template. And I don't think that they have paid any attention yet to avoiding the pairings of incumbents.
That those maps, the existing maps, were drawn 10 years ago with complete Republican control of the governor's office and the legislature. Were the same principles applied then that, hey, we're not going to try to move a lot of people around from district to district?
No, I think that there's a little bit of folks who are questioning the adoption of the criteria this time around because when the Republicans adopted the map in 2011, they were very happy to overhaul the existing districts in order to enhance their partisan advantage. And so now, 10 years later, they are trying to use this ostensibly neutral criteria of retaining cores really as a way to maintain the advantage that they already gave for themselves the last time around.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jimmy is with us in Valley Junction. Jimmy, hello.
Good afternoon, gents. Yeah, I live in up by East Atoma, in the middle of the state, and I've been switched several times in my voting career. I used to be under Tom Petrie in the 6th, and then I was under Ron Kind in the 3rd, and now they've brought the map way down from Dave Obey's old district, and now I'm in the 7th, and so I feel like I'm being pulled every which way. And I don't know. I mean, that district goes all the way to Lake Superior, so I'm hoping that they develop a map where, like you said, the interests of the area go together instead of such an extreme distance.
Jimmy, thanks for sharing that story. There are people like that in Jimmy's position on sort of contested boundaries between congressional districts. He's switched a couple times now, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that happens, and that's part of the decennial redistricting process. We do reshuffle the lines, and people sometimes get new representatives. Sometimes they view that as a great opportunity, actually, to maybe they were not electing the candidate that they preferred before, and now they have an opportunity to vote for someone who they prefer who might win. With congressional districts, there's an additional issue that I think the caller gets at, which is because those districts have 700,000 plus people in them, you actually are inevitably going to be combining various communities and often covering a large geographic area. So in the northern part of Wisconsin, because that's a sparsely populated area, it is just inevitable that a large chunk of you know, the northern part of the state is going to be in a congressional district. It's going to encompass a whole range of counties and communities that do have a range of interests. And so though, although you try to avoid splitting communities of interest to the extent you can, often districts will combine a number of discrete communities of interest, and that's just sort of the nature of the beast.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jimmy. At least we'll keep you in Wisconsin this time around. We'll move you out of the state. We're talking about the ongoing debate over Wisconsin's legislative maps with Rob Yablon. He's an associate professor of law at UW-Madison, faculty affiliate at the Elections Research Center, and faculty co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to the plans put forward, the drafts so far from the People's Maps Commission? What are your biggest worries about Wisconsin's current maps? Do you like the Republican legislative leader's goal of sticking to the boundaries as close as we can to what we have now? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. The conversation continues coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about Wisconsin's legislative maps. Last week, Governor Evers' maps panel came out with proposals for the state assembly, state senate, and Congress. Under those borders, Republicans would have a smaller advantage in the legislature than under the current maps. The People's Maps Commission is taking public comment on the plans through Thursday night. Lawmakers, Republicans in the assembly and senate will be coming up with their own maps. The governor is expected to veto likely outcomes of that. Rob Yablon is our guest, associate professor of law at UW-Madison, faculty co-director of the State Democracy Research Institute. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you following this story closely? Have you looked at these People's Maps Commission draft maps? What do you want to see come out of all this? Are you frustrated with or happy about the process, the way we do this in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. As you were mentioning earlier, Rob, lawmakers draw this, the governor signs it or vetoes it, and the most likely outcome is it's going to end up in courts. The big question, which courts?
Right. Well, so, you know, there have been lawsuits filed in federal court and also in the state Supreme Court. And the state Supreme Court has accepted an original action case. And what that likely means is that it's going to be the state Supreme Court that takes the lead here. There is some federal precedent from the U.S. Supreme Court suggesting that federal courts ought to defer to state processes, whether that's the state legislature or state courts, if those state actors are actually proceeding in a timely way. And so if the Wisconsin Supreme Court is able to, in fact, proceed in time to produce a map, they may well be the entity that does it this time around.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Rich is with us in Appleton. Rich, hi.
Good afternoon.
What did you want to bring up, Rich?
Yeah, I have a question. I live, and we just moved here within the last year. I live on the northeast side of Appleton, District 56. If you look at the maps for this area, 56 has just some unbelievable lines. I can't imagine how they came up with them. I actually live closer to the representative for 55 and 57 than I do for the representative for 56. I can drive through 55, 57, and get way down on the southwest side of 56 again. I'm talking several miles. I'm talking 15 miles probably or more. Also, I have a question about what's going to happen now, because I understand District 56 has increased just short of 8,000 residents in 2020 compared to 2010. So how is that going to affect the boundary lines, too, and what's going to happen with 56?
Rich, thanks for the call. I don't know if we have that level of granular detail on those particular districts, but the weird shapes, the weird distances. It happens in these maps, right, Rob?
It does, you know, and I can't say that I'm going to be able to provide great specific answers, although I think that District 56 is one that might kind of wrap around some of the city of Appleton. And yep. So, you know, sometimes you get these strange shapes for legitimate geographic reasons. You want to keep a city together, and that might mean that you have a district surrounding the city that is sort of C-shaped. It's, you know, it's half of the outside area. You know, sometimes you might follow geographic boundaries like rivers or lakes, and that can produce odd shapes. But the more troubling explanation sometimes is gerrymandering. And sometimes there, we've probably all seen maps of very funny shaped districts, and you wonder why it was done that way. And often the answer is that it was done because the map makers were trying to achieve a specific political result.
Thanks a lot for that call, Rich. We'll go to Dave now in Milwaukee. Dave, hi.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. Great discussion. My opinion is that since the district lines as we have them now were drawn at a time of an absolute power grab by the Republicans, and why not? They controlled the governorship and all the house, both houses of the state legislature. But the very fact that that's when this recent, the most recent restructuring of the lines was drawn, and the Republicans of the legislature wanted to not be changed at all, is more than enough information for me to say this needs to be changed, because it's 100%, if not 100% close enough, of gerrymandering. And to say it's anything less than that is just dishonest, and it's just intellectually wrong. Admit what they've done, because they did it. They did it at a time where they were able to do it, and they had no shame in doing it.
Dave, thanks for the call. Rob, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, so look, here, you know, in 2011, when there was unified Republican control, they didn't hesitate to really overhaul the maps and make significant changes. A lot of people were shifted from one district to another. And now they're in a position where their gerrymander from 10 years ago was quite successful. And they want to perpetuate that advantage. And so they don't actually have to overhaul the districts again to do that. They've already achieved their goal in significant part. They just want to do more tweaking. And they, you know, can dress that up in what is some ostensibly neutral language about continuity of representation. But I think the callers, you know, has sort of an instinct that is quite common and maybe a correctly cynical one about the reason why suddenly they're embracing continuity. In my academic work, I've actually adopted a term for this. You know, I call this kind of phenomenon gerrylaundering rather than gerrymandering. You know, gerrymandering you often think of as overt manipulation, you know, completely overhauling districts. But sometimes, you know, you can achieve your political advantages by not doing an overhaul, but just by staying the course and suggesting that staying the course is actually a neutral thing, when in reality, given the biases that are built into the existing map, it really isn't a neutral strategy at all.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Rob Yablon from UW-Madison, looking at redistricting, drawing the political lines for our state assembly, state senate, and our congressional district here in Wisconsin. Let's go back to your calls now. Mike is on the line in Madison. Mike, hello.
Hello. Hi. I'd like to pose a process or an idea to your guest in that when it comes time for redistricting, the party in control can either choose parallel lines of latitude or longitude, with the other two sides being any shape that they choose, with, of course, the Mississippi and the Lake Michigan and Superior being fixed sides. But then they can choose to how best to address these districts in the future. I'm trying to come up with a solution that's a 100, 200-year plan. No matter whether it's the Democrats, Republicans, a Whig party, a Green party, in control.
Mike, thanks. Those Whigs are going to make a comeback. Rob, is there such a thing as a really neutral basis that could restrain overt gerrymandering when one party or the other is in control?
Yeah, you know, I appreciate the caller's instinct to try to figure out a more neutral system. And I think the answer is that there are more neutral ways of doing it. You know, concepts like neutrality and fairness are very difficult ones. And it may just be that there is no one single districting arrangement or process that we would all agree is the very most fair. But I think many of us would agree that there are certain processes and outcomes that are quite unfair. And so, you know, I think as we're engaging in redistricting reform, you know, part of the idea, I think, for the governor to create this People's Maps Commission was to create a counterpoint to a legislative process, which in 2011 was quite, you know, overt in its objectives to maximize the Republican advantage and see, well, could we have a process that's more fair, you know, and we can use some of the criteria that are set out explicitly in the state constitution, which are geographic criteria, compactness, maintaining political subdivision boundaries. And let's see if that gives us a map that actually has a less egregious political tilt. And so, you know, that might be an example of a more fair process. Is it the most fair process? Possibly not. But, you know, we have a, you know, we're starting from a very low baseline.
Rob, just half a minute or so left. What are you watching for next in this process?
Well, you know, there are a couple things. Later this week, we are going to see some filings in the state Supreme Court. We may have more parties that are intervening in that litigation. The state Supreme Court asked the parties to say when they think a decision needs to be reached, when do new maps really need to be in place, and that may help give us a timeline for that litigation. We're going to see in the coming weeks revisions from the People's Maps Commission maps, and I think we'll hear more from the legislature as they start to draft maps, and we'll see what those look like. So I think we have a lot to look out for in the weeks ahead.
I'm sure we'll hear from you in the weeks ahead, Rob. Thanks for joining us again.
Great to be with you.
That's Rob Yablon, Associate Professor of Law at UW-Madison, faculty affiliate with the Elections Research Center. We talked to him about the latest on Wisconsin's legislative boundary maps, including the proposed maps drawn up by Governor Evers' redistricting panel.